12:30 here in Port Townsend, the city that time forgot. And you're listening to KPTZ, and it's Thursday, and it's time once again for Bureaucracy Now. I'm Taylor Clark. I'm here with my esteemed co-host, John Morrow.
Was that a promotion, Taylor?
Oh, from
esteemed.
Just,
I haven't been esteemed before. I don't often carry that title, but yeah. Thank you very much. Might be debatable. We should put it to a public vote.
No.
We have a number of people in the room here today. I'm really excited about it.
It's a crowded day.
It's awesome.
And do you want to introduce? Or well, let me start.
Because
I think I know. So yes. we have with us Mayor David Faber. Hi, David.
Howdy.
And this is your – do we do it monthly? Is that what we do?
Quarterly.
Quarterly. Yeah. We might have to have you back, maybe.
I'll do that.
And we have Planning Director. Did I get the title right?
That's right.
Emma Bolin. And we have, and I don't know your organization, but we have Amos Callender.
Yeah, Amos Callender, Thomas Architecture Studios.
Why don't you tilt that up just a little bit? It doesn't tilt very well.
Yeah.
And you're here from Olympia today, right?
Correct.
Is that not a beautiful drive?
Oh, it's lovely.
Gosh.
I love it.
Yeah. What are we discussing today, John?
Well, let's not leave out Sage, who's also a four-legged friend in the room. So it is a crowded house.
Yeah.
Always good to see Sage, especially as Sage looks out to the dog park. See, there you go, dog park. And today we have a constellation of awesomeness. I think, you know, partly we have a quarterly conversation at least with Mayor Faber. And this is that time. And it really coincides beautifully with a lot of work that both he has championed and staff is diligently working on regarding housing. So we have, you know, kind of a brain trust here to talk specifically about Evans Vista, make sure people in our community understand where we're at, opportunities for engagement, you know, a bit about the project, and maybe a bit about the wider context of, you know, how it nests into a long-term strategy of how we want to, you know, make progress in housing as a community and why.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It does, and I know that we've gone to the trouble to have Amos come up today. He's with an architecture firm. Did I get that?
That's correct, yes.
So what is your role in this?
So we were hired by the City of Port Townsend to come up with the master plan for Evans Vista and then ultimately end up in a land use entitlement process where we actually get this out for an RFP, hopefully get this project constructed, built.
And does your firm do this sort of thing for other cities also? This is your bread and butter.
Yeah,
apparently.
So firm in Olympia, Washington, and we do a lot of multifamily housing development, and we also specialize in master planning. So yeah, it's right in our wheelhouse.
Okay.
And I mean, we have so much that happened even just this week. I'm thinking, do we unpack the Planning Commission meeting? There's a ton of things we could talk about here. So,
well, what happened at the Planning Commission meeting?
Well, maybe, Emma, you were there.
Oh, man. We had a great Planning Commission meeting last night. It's a special meeting to talk about this project where we went through some of the site plan alternatives as well as some of the financial considerations that are going into how many units, how affordable do they need to be, and how much subsidy do we need to obtain for this project so it actually can get constructed within our, you know, 8-square-mile town? And we got some really great feedback about how do we brand this neighborhood so that it's a destination? How do we do placemaking?
Brand? I hadn't heard of branding a neighborhood. Was that a Planning Commission? Did they come up with that term, or is that an industry thing?
I think mostly the idea of the there that is there. So we're trying to brand it or make it a
destination. Oh, you're
destination
right at home here in Port Townsend.
Right.
The there that is there. Okay. Do we have a brand for Evans Vista, or are we kicking some ideas around?
So we had a public survey back in May and parts of June and July. So we looked at those results, and the Planning Commission considered, like, what is it that we need within the next 20 to 40 years in Port Townsend? And
wow, that's a long timeline, isn't it?
Yeah. So things like, how do we ensure we have more environmental sustainability with climate change, more walkable, maybe some transit-oriented design? Mm-hmm. What are some amenities people might want, like a community meeting space? How are people going to live in, you know, that time frame? Are we going to have more one-bedroom units versus having multi-bedroom units? how durable do we want these units to be?
Well, that's when you have to look way downstream at what the demographics might be. Wow, that's a hard problem to solve, actually.
It's a good intro to the big picture, which Mayor Faber's really good at speaking to. How does this nest into the big picture, not just temporally, but in terms of housing, even in the now for Port Townsend?
Well, getting to a place where we have affordable housing in our community is a long-term planning process. I mean, this, speaking to what Emma was talking about, you know, we don't just flip a light switch and get to this overnight. And so, you know, looking at a number of different steps to be taken here, hopefully in the next couple of years, to set the table for everything from more standard market rate housing, allowing more inexpensive market rate housing to be developed, as well as needing to hit as quickly as possible the development of affordable, attainable housing. And that, you know, there's some technicality around the way those words are used. Mm-hmm. But basically, we're talking about, you know, needing to target different segments of the population who may never be served by market rate housing, or who could be served by market rate housing maybe 20 years from now if we do our job right. But it would take 20 years mm-hmm. to get there. So trying to sort of fast track around some of that now, I think, is one of the main goals of the Evans Vista project.
And I think the city set themselves up well with the Rainier Vista sub-area plan. And so that...
Oh, that's interesting. You know, there's sort of the feeling that the Rainier Vista sub-area plan was done and then nothing happened, at least looking from the outside.
Right.
And this is starting to bear some fruit now.
This is the there that we were talking about earlier. And literally on the map, the piece of property the city purchased with state funding, of course, there's federal funding, county funding for this as well, literally says live work right where the parcel that was purchased by the city. Mm-hmm. And so it really kind of gives effect to that sub-area planning process that started 2017, 2018. I mean, before I was here and Emma were here. So, you know, there's a kind of a nice continuity to the vision from the past, and now we're catching up to it. And to Mayor Faber's point, really thinking about what is that pipeline in the future. I mean, this project is going to pop. It's going to be great. We're actively engaging. It's complex. It's going to be at scale. We're really focused on it, and that's why we're here talking. But actually, we need one of these almost every couple years. And so as we're doing this juggling of these balls, there's like another series of fiery, bowling pins that kind of come into the mix that we have to juggle about. What is that, you know, what does 2040 look like?
What does 2050 look like? Well, that's why I thought, to Emma's point about what
almost got a microphone to the face.
You know, this is a good time to say that KPTZ is a listener-supported station, and the microphone stands here are now 13 years, 12 years old, and are not as good as they could be. There are new microphone stands over at 305 that I believe are more reliable.
These are well-used
microphone stands. These are well-loved microphone stands. but be sure to go online and hit the big blue donate now button. I was going to say, to Emma's point about looking downstream at the demographics in the future, that are we going to need one bedroom, two bedroom? To David's point about if we can get people here now who maybe market rate will serve as they age and their income grows, presumably. Is that the sort of the theory there?
Partially, but it'd also be like, who are the next generation behind them who will need housing? Mm-hmm. And hopefully, if we do our job well, the market will not be so overheated as it is right now, and people who are middle income would actually be able to buy a house normally, mm-hmm. or buy a home normally here in our community. Does that make sense?
I'm not sure what buying it normally.
Buying it through the traditional, you know, the way anyone else buys a house right now.
Well, see, the way people buy a house now is they sell their high-priced house someplace else.
And that's the point I'm making.
Is that the abnormal part? Okay.
Yeah, so we have a constricted supply here.
Right,
significantly,
which drives it up even further.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I was going to, just to shamelessly tee up another conversation for maybe next week. There's mm-hmm. also a bunch of other related, priorities that the city has, our community has, that will not just be clear about what's coming our way demographically, but also give us some agency to decide what this community looks like, you know, in terms of age diversity, for instance. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are some things we can literally continue to ignore that will yield a certain result that we build for, mm-hmm. Or we could be actively changing what that looks like alongside getting this pipeline of housing ready. So I'm thinking about amenities for multiple age demographics. I'm thinking about, you know, the kind of infrastructure, the kind of economic development that makes sense in the Port Townsend context. That kind of goes hand in hand with some of this work on housing. And it's really, linked to it almost inextricably. Mm-hmm. That's a little meta. We could unpack it next week, perhaps.
Okay.
Caleb, can I ask you a question? Do you know where Evans Vista is located?
I don't exactly. I have this feeling that it's... here, I'll tell you what I think, and then...
It's over there. We
go up to the last roundabout.
No, the first. Well, coming or going?
First roundabout coming, last roundabout leaving. Okay.
That's right.
So we go up. We go up the hill, past the hospital, past the coffee place. And we got to the last roundabout, and I'm thinking, it's on the left. Rainier Vista is on the right.
You're right. Yeah.
But it's sort of down. It's down around. There's one building out there now that's a government building of some sort. Not our government, but some other government. So.
Sounds like you're ready to move
correct.
In.
The DSHS building over
the
there.
The DSHS building. Well, you know, I've only been here 10 years. I'm still learning the streets.
It hasn't been there for long either. So.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So that but people can drive down that, and it's a dead end now, right? There's a road, and do we anticipate that road will go through to Mill Road at some point? Is that the thinking?
Yeah, it may even happen sooner rather than later. You know, of course, Amos and his team is working with the community on some of the site design alternatives, which would have kind of a network of roads, but also trying to think about how do we minimize infrastructure, minimize driving.
I was just going to say we should talk about walkable communities because we have we're up the hill from the Larry Scott Trail there. And you know, I think we were talking about people living and working. What did you call it, John? That's on the
It says live/work.
And /work. Yeah.
You know, sorry to go meta again, but you know, could Port Townsend as a whole be live work? I mean, a lot of people commute in because they have to because of housing, et cetera. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're trying to localize our workforce because of quality of life and climate benefits and a range of other things. Like people get to spend more time with their family and friends
when they don't have to commute.
Precisely.
Yeah. Okay.
So we're actually going to be at the, I want to say cake picnic, but we were at the cake picnic for Rody Fest. Now we're going to be at Concerts on the Dock today.
Oh, good.
And so Amos and I are going to have some poster boards of the designs that are being considered right now, and we're trying to get feedback on. It's lovely. Maybe you can talk more about it.
I brought my whole dog and pony show, a car full of 10 display boards.
So will you have a table and a tent, and you'll be over there probably next. KPTZ will have a table there, too.
Right next door.
Okay.
Yeah, so we'll have the boards there. We're looking for public input on. We have a couple of design options we'd like some feedback on as far as what do you like about this place? What do you think we should be doing differently? We also have some information on kind of the financial aspect. We had a presentation to the Planning Commission yesterday and went through kind of the financial process of what sort of methods can we do to get this financed. Mm-hmm. So metrics that we could share with the public and get their feedback on, does this seem right? The original goal for this project is we need to hit 25% of 80% or below AMI. So that's a requirement of 25% of the housing
adjusted
units.
Adjusted mean income.
Area median income.
It's a TLA and a three-letter acronym, and I felt that we should define that for the benefit of those who are not in the know.
Us government goons love our acronyms.
Yeah. Okay. 80% of the AM.
Area median income. Yes.
Okay.
But one thing to remember is that we want this to be a mixed income neighborhood. It's not going to be, you know, just low income. Just, you know, in order to have, you know, vibrant... A place that we all would like to frequent.
Argument.
Yeah,
right,
diversity. Right. And to achieve that live-work component, you need to have all of those incomes. And last night at Planning Commission, we heard some interesting ideas about how we can integrate, well, not only ownership and rental options, but also, how can we intersperse like bunk houses, you know, with a townhouse ownership product? So that was a new thing, you know, that's why it's important to get public feedback, because all the things that maybe we're not thinking about, you know, now's the time when we need to hear from you.
Yeah, we're looking for all those ideas.
Okay. If you are just joining us, you're listening to Bureaucracy Now on KPTZ. Today, John Morrow and I are talking to Mayor David Faber and Planning Director Emma Bolin, and Amos Callender, and I've still missed the name of your firm.
Thomas Architecture Studios.
Thomas Architecture Studios. And we are talking about Evans Vista, which is this.
We're jockeying for position here. But
you got to stay on the mic. Yeah. So you probably noticed I introduced four guests, and with me, that's five, and we have four microphones.
I don't know too many mayors out there who will gratefully share a microphone without any sort of...
With the city manager.
And this, just to paint a picture for people, the city manager's grabbing the microphone, and the mayor's just sort of saying, go for it. So it's a nice dynamic.
That is a
but
nice
I'm going
to
pass the mic to the mayor
to
because
the mayor.
He might have something to say.
Does he have something to
add? I'm just enjoying the conversation here.
Yeah. I also would remind listeners that DJ at kptz.org, if you have a question, and I would say about this...
I did have a question, actually. When you said bunkhouses, Emma, were you talking about, like, is that, like, the same thing as single-room occupancy, or what do we...
What we used to call that. Studios?
Yeah, so we're looking at a variety of unit types, unit mix. So we want to add, if we did all, say, one-bedroom or all townhomes, that doesn't quite hit the bill of what we're trying to achieve here. So we're looking at anywhere down to studio, which is maybe 400 square feet per unit. And then the idea of a bunkhouse, maybe that could be multiple bedrooms that share a common kitchen or a common living space. Hmm. Trying to increase the unit bedroom count on a much smaller footprint, so driving that overall construction cost down per unit.
So that could potentially work as a good sort of first place someone might move into, either if they're getting out of experiencing homelessness or they're moving out of their parents' place or sort of transitional housing.
Exactly.
Or even city employees.
Or even city employees, which, there's a lot.
Who perhaps have to commute from out of
that. When I was a city employee, I know it's a different time, and I'm now in that kind of demographic, I could say, back when, 20 years ago, when I worked for the city of Seattle, I lived with a number of people in a house and had a bedroom, and we shared a kitchen, and we cooked meals together. I mean, it's not uncommon.
Well, I know, and I was going to ask about this idea of separate bedrooms and a shared, would this be then rented individually, or would this be a group of people would get together and say, hey, I'd like to rent this sort of space, and my three friends are going to come, right, like John perhaps did, like I did, like we all did.
I don't think we have an answer for that.
Yeah.
I think it's open.
Yeah, so, we're getting a lot of ideas, you know, fresh off the press, so that's one of them, which is exciting.
Pass me the
that. We're trying to figure out the heat situation in here.
Yeah, somebody has turned off our air conditioning.
Yeah, five people in a small room on a hot day is a difficult thing.
Well, and one of our air conditioning units in the one in the other room there is down. See, it's on now. We'll be better.
Excellent.
Leave it open. Okay. All right. Now I've completely forgotten where we were. We were talking about the mix of housing units,
bunkhouses, and it kind of gets to the point I was making earlier. I mean, you know, in some ways, it's kind of almost it's common sense based on who we all know that there are individuals who would take advantage of such a thing as a bunkhouse almost immediately. But it also paints the picture of actively with infrastructure, but with housing also. Creating the community we want. I mean, we want a local workforce. We want people who are younger and learning their trade and part of the marine trades or part of the construction industry or whatever it might be to live here. And if they don't have a place to sleep, they're driving and it becomes a lot harder. So this is a little bit about reacting, but it's also a lot about planning for the future.
Yeah.
At the tune of what, like $70 or $80 million is what this project likely represents.
Yeah. And for huge. Those who freak out with big numbers like I do, let me just quickly explain.
That's not a public investment of $80 Correct. Million. Dollars. That's a total investment, and it Correct. Would be a public-private partnership.
Yes.
It would be developers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And I, this is going to kind of sound a little bit like the newsletter you might read on August 1st, at least my column, which I just did. But, you know, we're kind of playing catch-up for a lot of things previous, and in some ways of doing that, we don't want to bankrupt the future. So going into, say, debt for some things that make no sense to go into debt for is probably a bad idea. This to this point, you know, the money that's come in has been, like I said earlier, federal, state, and county funding. Of course, staff time. But I mean, that's why we're lucky to have Amos and his firm with us. It's not because we're going deep into the coffers or, you know, sort of going into debt. It's because we were able to secure funding from partners to do this. And of course, then there's a private component to actually build it. Yeah. City's not going to build it. Yeah. And we're not going to go into debt building it either. Yep. It needs to pencil out.
Okay. John, we have about 4.5 minutes left. You wanted 2 minutes. I would like 90 seconds.
You go, I think.
All right. Well, I wanted to share that we had a question earlier in the week about mowing and parking strips and grass and how important that is this time of year. And the question went to me, but it also went to you and to Director of Public Works Steve King.
Yeah.
Steve has written some copy, and I was going to share with you.
It's great.
As the year progresses and the grass grows taller and dries out, our City of Port Townsend Public Works Department reminds us that during the dry summer weather, there's a fire hazard associated with long grass, particularly in parking strips. It is the responsibility of each owner to maintain their property frontage to minimize the risk of fire, reduce the spread of weeds, and help ensure that pedestrians and cyclists can get around easily. Please don't forget to mow your street frontage. For more information, go to the city's website and do a search on right-of-way maintenance requirements.
And I just want to add that from a technical standpoint, that's 45 seconds of information within 30.8 seconds.
That was well done. And I mean, just chalk that up to another reason why you're awesome. It's well delivered, but it's actually really helpful because it's a story we're trying to tell.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's I know it's contested in terms of people, you know, feeling like it's not a popular thing we're doing, but
it isn't. No, nobody wants to hear that their lawn needs to be mowed.
No, it's true.
And Lord knows I hate mowing my own.
Same.
Yeah.
You know, and I think just to honor our collaboration with East Jefferson Fire Rescue, you know, Chief Black would also say, don't mow in the afternoon.
Right. Please mow in the morning.
Because you might spark a fire.
I didn't. I was at 30.8 seconds. I couldn't. I actually had to shorten it to get it in. You know, we talked about pedestrians and cyclists not getting hit in the face by brush.
Yes.
But yeah. So that's part of our rotation. All right.
That's what
I have. 2 minutes?
Well, maybe 2 minutes, you know, not to diverge completely because it is related, but I think maybe next week, I think Steve's going to come on the show.
Oh, good.
So we could talk mowing, but we can also talk a little bit about infrastructure in general, some of the work around streets. And it'd be hard not to talk about golf course because I know that was a decision made, you know, or a directional tilt that council made. And instead of me unpacking it, I don't know if Mayor Faber wanted to just say a couple words at least.
Yeah. Yeah,
and we'll say more, and there's going to be more, but just kind of an assessment of Monday.
Okay, and I'm not going to editorialize. I'm going to let David actually see if he can spell this out. What's going on, David?
Oh, wow. So 2 minutes is going to be pretty difficult.
It's going
to
be impossible. That's why I want you to join me and do this again. You know,
Monday's meeting was pretty much easily the most difficult council meeting I've been a part of in my 8 years on council. And really, our task was to try and combine two mutually exclusive options for the future of the golf course and to give voice to the multifarious interests and desires of the community as a whole. And so what we ended up doing is trying to create a compromise between the two proposals presented by staff, which is a Central Park option and a golf course, to create something in the middle that would have multiple community amenities, consider future affordable housing development, like to John's point about a pipeline after Evans Vista, and to include a golf component. So we're hoping to have that back to council in a month, month and a half, something like that, to actually take a final action on. But we're trying to kind of get down to a final proposed option.
Was this not, so this is a hybrid option, a third option from anything that was presented?
Yeah, it was a hybrid of the hybrids.
Okay, all right. All right. I think more discussion here, John, about this, I think, would
yeah.
be warranted.
No, and a more community conversation, obviously. It's yeah. it's everyone cares. People show up. Some yes. people are teed off. but that's okay. We can still hold the conversation for where we want to go in the future.
Okay. All right. We are out of time here. I want to thank David Faber for coming.
Thank you.
Emma Bowen and thanks. Amos Callender from Thomas Architecture.
Got it.
Close enough.
And planning director Emma Bowen, Mayor David Faber, and my buddy John.
Interim general manager Taylor Clark. We're being so formal here. I should say esteemed. It's always a pleasure. We'll see you next week. And what are we going out with today?
Well, last week, as you remember, we had Ranch Romance. And I got a lovely email from a listener who really appreciated Lance Romance is a different band. Ranch Romance. They're both Seattle area bands, Ranch Romance, and had a great love for yodeling. And not many people know this about me, but in addition to liking Retsina wine, I also like yodeling. This is American Cowboy Yodeling, and this is Jimmy Rogers, classic Jimmy Rogers, Blue Yodel No. 4, and I thought it was good for housing because these are the California blues.